Thank you, Brother David. And I'm sure all of our hearts are filled with joy as we see six candidates here before you, whom you will meet a little later in the program. And I should ask one more time for any others whose hearts have been touched that they would like to take this occasion to symbolize their consecration by water baptism, that you might come and down and join these others in the front row if that is your desire. Now, Brother Sid Jones, a Dawn Pilgrim, faithful brother that we've all appreciated, I'm sure, in this service, will give us a lesson from the Scriptures concerning this matter of consecration. Brother Sid Jones.
My dear brethren, it is indeed a blessing and a privilege for us all here to be witnesses of those who are seated in this front row. This is the highlight of our convention each year, and I know that we look forward each year to those who have been drawn by God to give their life to Him, that they might walk in newness of life as they have been drawn for a very special purpose. And there are six seated in the front row here, and if there are others who would like to come forth, why, please do. It's a joy to see all six of you. I don't know all of you personally, but be assured that you are in our prayers, the prayers of each one of us. This is a very special day for you, all six of you, but it's also a very special day for each one of us. As we think back when we ourselves were seated in this first row. What a blessing. And as I begin our thoughts this afternoon, we would like to emphasize the great power of God that has been working in your lives, each one of you. God's mighty power has been manifest to those of us who are witnesses here today to see that God's mighty hand is working in your lives. And there is a scripture that I would like to open with. It's one found in Matthew 6 and verse 44 and 45. And it has to do with the coming to our Lord Jesus and being drawn by the Heavenly Father. Those of you who have been drawn by the Heavenly Father and who have given your lives to Him have been so drawn. Dear brethren, you are the called according to His purpose. And we would like to consider a passage of Scripture in connection with this, which is found in Romans chapter 8. And this is addressed to you, brethren. It's addressed to you who have been called by the Heavenly Father to walk in newness of life. We'd like to read this passage from Romans 8, beginning with verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And you, brethren, have been called for a very special purpose in this gospel age. The apostle continues, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. This is the work that you will be doing as you grow in grace and in knowledge and are led by the Holy Spirit, that you might be drawn into the image of our Lord Jesus, our Heavenly Father's Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And what a contemplation as we consider this wonderful passage, that we have been drawn to be part of the firstborn class among many brethren. to share together with our Lord Jesus as part of the Bride of Christ for the work of blessing the world in the future in that wonderful kingdom. And we continue in verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Them he also justified, those he glorified. And dear brethren, as we consider this wonderful privilege that we have of being drawn into this family of God for this very special purpose, and we like to welcome you, we give you a very warm welcome, dear brethren, those of you seated in this front row today, that as you have been drawn by the mighty power of God, that you have made a consecration to His will, and now you are going to be baptized to show us what is in your heart, and we will be witnesses to that marvelous grace of God. And we'd like to also read a passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. And dear brethren, these Scriptures apply to you. These Scriptures are written for you, dear brethren, who have given your hearts to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the marvelous grace of God that we have been called for this very wonderful purpose. And of course we have that grand baptism of our Lord Jesus in the third chapter of Matthew, when our Lord Jesus Himself came to John the Baptist and asked to be baptized that He might show what was in His heart as He gave His heart to the Heavenly Father. And we find this recorded for our admonition in Matthew chapter 3, and we'd like to begin with verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of Him. But John forbade Him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And then Jesus answered, and He said, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then He suffered him so to do, or He yielded Himself to the Spirit that was manifest at that time. And then Jesus, when He was baptized, He went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Dear brethren, our Lord Jesus has shown us the way. He has opened the way for us. And as you have been drawn by the mighty power of God, we trust that He will lead and direct your lives, and that as you give your life to Him, and as you are baptized this very day, you may think upon these wonderful things and the way in which our Lord has shown us this way. Our Lord Jesus, of course, was a great gift of God. He willingly took the sinner's place. He accepted God's will in His life. He was born under the law, and yet He had to present Himself under that law and had to fulfill that law. And yet our Lord Jesus studied the Scriptures and prepared Himself accordingly. And yet something else was taking place when our Lord was baptized by John the Baptist. We find a new era in the plan of reconciliation of God opening up. A turning point. The antitypical Lamb of God was about to be manifest to the world of mankind. The typical sacrifices were coming to an end, and the antitypical Jesus, the Lamb of God, was taking the place of that this typical picture. This is a turning point, even as John tells us in John 1:29, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And dear brethren, you who are new in this way have accepted this marvelous call and have responded in a very positive way for the work that is ahead of you, and it brings joy to our hearts I know it brings joy to the hearts of each one of us who is gathered here this very day to witness what is taking place in your heart. The question would arise, what is baptism and what is the meaning of baptism? We've just considered a passage of Scripture that shows our Lord Jesus being baptized by John, being accepted by the Heavenly Father, and we would also like to consider now the meaning of baptism. Baptism is a symbol. It's a symbol of your consecration to God. Water is also a symbol. It's a symbol of cleansing and of life and of truth. And we put these wonderful symbols together, and this powerful picture is drawn to our attention, the meaning and the significance, that the symbolism in connection with this baptismal picture. And there are two parts of this baptism and its symbol. There is the immersion, first of all, into the waters, and then there is the emergence, or the rising up again. As you will be lowered into the waters by the one who will be the immersing in a little while, you are putting your life in his hand in this symbolic picture. You will be covered or buried in this picture. As this picture brings to our mind, as you are being lowered into the water, you are helpless, you are in the hands of the immerser, in this submissive, helpless trust in this marvelous symbolic picture. And then as you emerge from the waters, as you rise up again out of these waters, you put your trust again in the hands of the immerser to bring you up out of the waters. And what a beautiful picture it is. You have been cleansed from sin. This is a newness of life, even as the apostle has drawn to our attention. And this represents your consecration, what has already taken place in your hearts. And this newness of life has this new purpose. And it's a symbolic picture of the new creature, the new life that has taken place and will continue to take place as it grows and develops in your consecrated walk. Why was Jesus baptized? He was not condemned to death. He needed no cleansing. He needed no repentance. And yet he humbly submitted himself to the Heavenly Father in this beautiful picture, this symbolic picture that we have been talking about. Our Lord Jesus was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And yet he, in this beautiful symbolic picture, was lowered into the waters and emerged once again to show us the meaning of this great picture that he was giving to us. We'd like to consider some other scriptures in Hebrews, the letter to Hebrews in chapter 10. And we'd like to consider the verses in chapter 10, beginning with verse 4. And as we spoke a moment ago, the turning point, that is from the typical significance of the Old Testament types, and our Lord Jesus being the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the apostle in this passage is drawing this to our attention and adding this dimension of appreciation and understanding to it, as we see. Beginning with verse 4, he says, "It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins." And when we consider the type and the Levitical types and the death of the animals and the sprinkling of the blood on the mercy seat, that did not take away sin. It was only a picture of a grander scheme of God that would take place beginning with our Lord Jesus. And here the apostle is bringing this to our attention. No one is going to gain life by the blood of bulls and goats and the pictures of the Old Testament types. And then verse 5, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world," that's our Lord Jesus, "he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wast not, but a body thou hast prepared for me." A body. Our Lord Jesus was a spirit being. He left that spirit nature, came to earth, became a perfect man. God provided him this perfect human body that he was able to offer in sacrifice. And then verse 6, "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure." These are only types. The Old Testament types only represented a grander picture that would take place when the real Lamb of God would come to the world. And then the apostle quotes from Psalm 40. And he said, "Then said I, Lo, even as it is recorded in Psalm 40, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Our Lord Jesus, this is a prophecy of our Lord Jesus pointing forward in Psalms 40 to the time when our Lord would so willingly come and offer himself and be baptized by John the Baptist. And above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offerings for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law." Because our Lord was born under the law and had to be fulfilled in every way. And then verse 9. And he said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." And this shows the spirit of our Lord Jesus in so willingly offering himself to God for the purpose of the reconciliation of the sins of the whole world. And it was recorded of him back by the psalmist in Psalm 40, which pointed forward to that time. Now we are considering Paul's words here in Hebrews, looking back those few years to our Lord Jesus and this wonderful life that he gave for the world of mankind. And he adds dimension to this as we consider this 10th chapter of Hebrews and see how beautiful it is and the deeper meaning that it has. Not only did he say, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God," but he taketh away the first that he may establish the second. And this is what we were talking about a moment ago when we said that the types had come to an end and the antitype, the picture of the real Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus, as being the one who would take away the sin of the world. The first was taken away, the typical was taken away, that the second or the antitypical might be manifest. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And it brings joy to our hearts as we consider these scriptures and understand the meaning of these scriptures in connection with the types and the antitypes, and how the real Lamb of God has shown us the way and who has led us the way and who has now invited you to walk with him in your new consecrated walk. And brethren, as you sit there in this front row and are considering your new way, your newness of life, and listen to some of these scriptures and consider what is about to take place, realize that you have each one of your brethren here, not only those who are present here today, but also others throughout the world who are willing and happy to be of assistance to you, to be your helper, if need be, as you walk along the way. And our Lord Jesus opened the way alone, but you have not only him and walking with him, but you also have each one here today in this auditorium and others also who would be very pleased to help you and assist you in any way. What does it mean to participate in Jesus' death? We'd like to consider some of this in connection with the powerful symbols that we have suggested in some of these scriptures. The Levitical types, the picture of water and a baptism and of taking away the typical and the establishing of the antitypical. And in doing so, we'd like to consider a passage of scripture that we read each year at memorial time in connection with the cup and the bread and the communion or the common union or the participation in our Lord Jesus' death. This scripture is found in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. And we'd like to consider verses 16 and 17 because they apply to you as you partake of this in your life and participate in this wonderful symbol in connection with this. We're reading verses 16 and 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a common union or a common participation of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not a communion or a common participation of the body of Christ? And as you have given your life to the Lord and walk in newness of life, this is a common participation that you share with our Lord Jesus in his death. And the apostle brings this further to our attention in Romans chapter 6. And we'd like to consider this and the seriousness of what is taking place in your heart and this participation with our Lord in his death, this common union that Paul spoke of in Corinthians. And here in Romans chapter 6, he brings it to our attention in connection with this burial into our Lord Jesus' death. And this is what he said. And we'll begin with verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? This is a baptism into our Lord Jesus' death, a participation in his death. This is what it means by partaking of the cup and the bread, a participation in our Lord Jesus' death. Therefore, we are buried with him by this baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we are assured that we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That's the great hope that we have. If we are faithful even unto death, and to be buried with him, and to walk with him, then we have the great hope of being raised together in this grand plan of the kingdom. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That's the old nature. That's what is pictured as we are lowered into the waters and raised up. The old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And now verse 8. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That is the great hope that we have, dear brethren. This is the great hope as we seek for glory, honor, and immortality, that we, if we are faithful, that we will share with our Lord Jesus in this great and wonderful work of sharing in the uplifting of all the families of the earth in the plan of God. And to consider further the seriousness of this common participation with our Lord Jesus and this burial into death, we'd like to consider a passage of Scripture from Mark, beginning with verses 35 to 40. Now, I think for the sake of time that we'll just paraphrase briefly what is taking place here, to show the seriousness of what it means to be baptized into Jesus' death. In this passage of Scripture, we have the two sons of Zebedee asking our Lord Jesus if he would remember them in a very special way in the kingdom. That is, they asked him if it would be possible for one of them to sit on one side and the other sit on the other side of our Lord Jesus in the kingdom. And then as the passage continues, we find that our Lord Jesus is addressing these sons of Zebedee, and he asks them if they are able to drink of the cup that he drinks of and to be baptized with the baptism that he is baptized with. And this is the seriousness of this question about baptism into Jesus' death. And then, of course, their answer was that, yes, we can. And then Jesus spoke to them, and he said to them, you don't know what you're asking. You don't appreciate or understand what it is to be baptized into Jesus' death, to drink of that cup. Oh yes, it's a cup of sorrow now. It will be a cup of joy in the kingdom, but you don't understand what you're asking. And then as this passage continues, he assured them that indeed they would drink of this cup and to be baptized with his baptism. And then he concluded this passage by telling the sons of Zebedee that it was only the Heavenly Father's power, it was in his hands to give the rewards to those who would be in the kingdom. It wasn't our Lord Jesus' place to say that one could sit on one side and the other on the other. This is a baptism even unto death. And as we see the seriousness of this, we want to emphasize what it is to give your life unto the Heavenly Father. And I'm sure each of you have considered this very seriously. It's not an easy thing to walk down and sit in this front row. And yet you have done that. And we have all witnessed this. We have seen you come to the front row, and God bless each one of you as you are seated there, and as in a few moments you will be lowered into the water and to be raised out of that water by the immerser. This is a great joy for us. It's a very happy occasion. It really is the highlight of the convention. Well, we would like to consider one or two more passages of Scripture in the few moments that we have here. In Colossians chapter 3, the apostle also brings this to our attention. And these scriptures are written for you, dear brethren. The Bible was written for the Lord's people. The Bible, the scriptures were written for the elect church of God. And you have been called to participate in this. Scriptures are written for your instruction and for your admonition, that you might be drawn closer to our Lord Jesus, that you might be faithful and to share in the great plan of God for the eventual working out of his plan for the kingdom. And in chapter 3 of Colossians, we see what the apostle says in this address. If ye then are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. That is, spiritual things, not earthly things. You have been elevated in your minds and your life. You have been elevated from the world. You are in the world, but you are no longer a part of it. You have been raised out of the world to a higher heights of joy and of blessing. And these are spiritual things. For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He continues, set your affections on things above, spiritual things. Forget the earthly things. Set your attention on the spiritual things. This is what it means to seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Not on the things of the earth. For now ye are dead. You have been baptized into Jesus' death. This is what it means to be lowered into the waters, to be baptized into Jesus' death. Now you are dead. And your life is hidden with Christ and God, a very special relationship, a very special meaning in each one of your lives. And brethren, we pray that you might be encouraged and enlightened by these wonderful words of the apostle. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Dear brethren, that is a hope that you have. This is a hope that the apostle drew to our attention in Romans, the chapter 6 that we considered a moment ago. The hope of walking in newness of life and being baptized into Jesus' death is the hope of the resurrection, to share with our Lord Jesus in the great work of the kingdom. We still have a couple of minutes here. I'd like to consider another passage of Scripture, and this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'd like to consider verse 16 and 17. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 16 and 17. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, because you have set your affections on things above, as he just told the brethren at Colossae. Yes, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, we know him no more. We appreciate and we study his ministry, but we have come to appreciate the spiritual lessons that he gave us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. This is what it means to walk in newness of life, to set your affections on things above, and to seek for that which has been extended unto you, glory, honor, and immortality. And then verse 21, the apostle concludes this chapter by saying, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, brethren, I'd like to come down offer you the right hand of fellowship and to ask you a couple of questions and to extend to you the right hand of fellowship on behalf of the whole body here today. Brother Joe, have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior?
Yes.
Have you made a full consecration to the Heavenly Father to be faithful even unto death?
Yes, I have.
Dear Brother Joe, I have a scripture for you. It is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. "Walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." I'd like to offer you the right hand of fellowship on behalf of your brethren here. Brother Chris, have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior?
Yes, sir.
And have you made a consecration to be faithful even unto death?
Yes.
I have a very special scripture for you too, Brother Chris. "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in the one hope of your calling." And I'd like to offer you the right hand of fellowship on behalf of the whole congregation here today. And Brother Bertram, have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior?
Yes, I have.
And have you made a consecration to be faithful to him even unto death? I would like to give you a scripture. It's taken from Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And on behalf of the congregation, we'd like to give you the right hand of fellowship.
Thank you.
And Brother Cecil,
yes.
Have you accepted Lord Jesus as your personal Savior?
Yes, I have.
And have you made a full consecration to him to be faithful even unto death? On behalf of your answer, I'd like to give you this wonderful scripture from Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And with that, we'd like to offer you the right hand of fellowship.
Thank you.
Sister Gail, have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? And have you made an unreserved consecration to do his will faithfully even unto death?
Yes, I have.
I have a very special scripture for you, taken from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." And I'd like to offer you the right hand of fellowship on behalf of your dear brethren here today. And Brother Jim,
Have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior?
Yes, I have.
And have you made a full consecration to do His will faithfully even unto death?
Yes, I have.
And I have a very special scripture for you as well, taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And we'd like to offer you the right hand of fellowship on behalf of your dear brethren today. May God bless each one of you here who have given your life to the Heavenly Father.
I just want to express my joy, and I'm sure that I speak for all of you, as we look upon these dear ones who have been called of God to come to our Lord and give them their hearts, that they've done that and that they have made this wonderful step in their Christian life. And we're so privileged to be able to be witnesses to that. And I'm sure that you're all as filled with the joy and the spirit of this as I am. And I must say that about the immersion service, I know everybody would like to be there, but there may be some limitations because of the size of the facility. In the past, we exceeded the safety requirements. So we would ask, first of all, that those who do go to the immersion service, that they'd be first the family members, and then those brethren from the ecclesia that are close to these brethren, and then whoever else can fit in, fine. That's all right, too. We're going to close this service with the use of hymn 104. Before we do that, however, let me give you the directions on how to get to the pool. If you haven't been there, don't know how to get there. If you're going to walk, it's just under a mile, and you would go out this side of the hall and just walk right back this walkway. Now, if you're going to drive a car, then you would go out the back, the way we usually come into the hall, through the lobby, and drive to the left, to the stop sign, then drive left again down to the end of the street, and then you'll see the auditorium, and you turn left again, and you'll find a parking space, parking lot there, and that's where you would park. Now, hymn books, well, there will be hymn singing at the pool. We can't do any recording, but there will be hymns sung there. Brother Wade Austin will be leading that singing, and you'll need to take a hymn book if you go. If you take one of the ones from the hall, please bring it back. If you take your own, that's all right. You can leave it there if you wish. Go left. This is Kunk, K-U-N-K-S, Kunk's Drive. If you're driving, you go left. And the road directly in front of the auditorium, follow Kunk's Drive to the stop sign, make a left, continue on this road, which dead ends at the Zamias Aquatic Center. Park in the center of the lot. I think that covers it. Now, we'll close with the use of hymn 104, I Come to Thee, and we'll sing all the verses and stand on the last verse.